Hallelujah. Father, we thank you one more time for the privilege of fellowship with one another. We ask this morning that you grant to us wisdom and insight in your word. Thank you for clarity of thought, precision and accuracy of teaching. There's no error in this atmosphere. Thank you for all behold Jesus Christ, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, remember that much later in chapter 3, verse 16, or 15, pardon me, he says to him, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, spoke to me for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, he tells Timothy about the doctrine of the Bible is faith in Christ. Now, don't forget, at this point, the Bible or the scriptures refer to Genesis to Malachi, and he says that the doctrine of scripture is faith in Christ. And so our topic, our subject for a couple of weeks has been faith in Christ, material wealth, money, and other things. I guess I should have yesterday, today, and forever. All right, so in chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, right, by the word truth. Now, we have studied the meaning of this word, or these words, and we can put it like this. We say, well, be eager and diligent to display that you have been approved by God. A workman that knows... Come on, it's funny, my own translation. That knows his onions. That's nice, right? That knows his way around the scriptures. Rightly dividing the Old Testament in Christ. In other words, rightly... Oh, sorry, I said handling. That's what I would say. Handling the Old Testament in Christ. That's what he's saying. He's saying, be eager and diligent to display. That's the word to show. To display that you have been approved, you've been tested by God. Okay? A workman, okay, that knows his onions, has his capability, and knows his capabilities, okay, who handles the Old Testament properly in Christ. He handles Old Testament books properly and adequately in Christ. Is that a good translation? Huh? Is that a good translation? It was like a children's show translation, but it's fine. So basically that's what he's saying, that look, you must display this, you must demonstrate this, you must show this. You must be found doing this. And he's talking to a pastor. And then if he's talking about right divine word of truth, then he told him much later that the word of truth is salvation through faith in Christ. Somebody said something that amazed me. He said, you want to hear this? It's very interesting. He said, the Bible is too big that all we just be talking about is Christ, Christ, Christ. Now, you are just narrowing down the Bible to one subject, and there are many subjects. Now, where do we start with it? He's a very experienced minister. He has I don't know whether to call them flocks or flock or sheep or sheeple under him. The sheep and sheeple. And he's saying that to narrow down the Bible to one person or to one subject is myopia. That's myopia. That's not proper. You should have other things apart from Jesus Christ. Now, if not for confidence in the new birth, I would have said this man is not born again. His respected fellows on television. This man is not born again. Praise God. Hallelujah. Because the Old Testament is about salvation through faith in Christ. Now, let me quickly add this because this is vital. I just want to add this to this. Now, what is not Bible study? Paul talks to Timothy about something because in verse 16, why did he tell him this? In verse 16, it says, Sean, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. I think I warned you about this before. Folks that just ask very funny questions, do not answer them. Sean, profane and vain babblings. Now, look at the word profane. The word profane is the word bebios in the Greek. It means worldly, actually. It's used to describe unspiritual things. Things that trample, basically, in literal terms, the word bebios means something that can be trampled upon. Something that doesn't mean much, you know. So, his worldly babblings. Pay attention now. Did you notice? Now, put your hands in there and notice that Paul repeats this warning several times. This must have been a problem because he repeats this warning several times. Go to chapter 1 Timothy 6 and 20. It's the same thing. He repeats the same thing. That means you as a minister of the gospel, you must take note of this. Look at this. 1 Timothy 6 and 20. Before you go there, I think there's 1 Timothy 4, 7. 1 Timothy 4, 7. Let's read it together. 1 Timothy 4, 7. But refuse. I'll wait for you. Let's go. Let's go now. But refuse profane and old wives' fables and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. 1 Timothy 6, 20. Let's go. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to your trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called. So, if you repeat something twice, okay, that means it says it three times, it implies that you have to take note of it. He says worldly, vain babblings, worldly, unspiritual discussions. That's what he's saying. In 1 Timothy 1 and 9, I think, 1 Timothy 1 and 9, the same word bebios. He calls it profane, the word profane. He says, for sinners, for unholy and profane. In Hebrews 12, 16, he mentions profane as the man Esau. He says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. That is, he doesn't count spiritual things important. To shun it. Hebrews 12, 16. Profane worldly. Those that treat spiritual things like it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Have you seen some guys that say, well, it's not about prayer. It's not about Bible study and you know, they are worldly. They're worldly people. It's about the kind of results that you get. They're worldly people. Unspiritual. They will trample upon spiritual things. Doesn't matter to them. He said, you shun such discussions. There is not every question you answer. There are some questions you don't answer. There are some engagement. I told you it would increase what? Much more what? On God. You don't even respond. Now, there are some folks that will ask you very sincere questions. You answer them. And there are others you just give them the kind of answer they deserve. Nothing. It's not ready to learn. You try to talk about forgiveness of sins and tell someone the forgiveness of sins is not a prayer. Then they say, are you now saying that we can do whatever we like? Now, how does that relate? Tell me. How? What's the relationship between those two statements? The Christ has saved you once and for all, and then you don't need to get saved a second time. The guy says, are you now saying, no? Did I say it? No, you said it. You get it? So, there are folks like that. You avoid it. You avoid it. A guy in the university, he said, are you saying that you can't lose salvation? I said, you lose your own. And he got angry. I said, why are you angry? I said, you lose your salvation and you're angry. I said, you will lose your salvation and you're angry. I said, you can't lose your salvation and you're angry. I said, you will lose your salvation and you say you're angry. Now, what exactly is your problem? Confusion. You're getting my point. I said, you can't lose salvation. He said, what do you mean? I I said, you will lose your salvation. Say, ah! Praise God. Now, the word babblings means, you know, phonia means to speak, right? A voice, right? So, kenophonia, K-E-N-O. It means empty talk. Unspiritual discussion. Empty talk. You want to engage people, they say they are atheists. You want to engage them and prove things to them is empty talk. What are you trying to do? Because California, it means empty talk, the same word in 1 Timothy 6:20. He says, the more you get engaged in those things, and then you allow those people to begin to trample on spiritual realities. He said, you are increasing ungodliness. You're trying to, in your own eyes, you want to win a debate, you want to prove a point. But he says, no, you avoid it. Praise God. You get my point? You avoid it. Hallelujah. You avoid it. Profane, worldly talk. He calls it sciencely, falsely called. That is, it's supposed to be knowledge of things falsely called. He said, but you see, these things are worldly. They are profane babblings. He said, to avoid them. Are you still out there? You avoid them altogether. Because they will increase ungodliness. Ungodliness. Glory to his name. So, that's it. He says, you avoid them. What do you do? So, you know, look at that in context of what he's saying. 2 Timothy 2:15. We just read 16. Alright? Then 14. 2 Timothy 2. 14 says, of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not by words to no profit, to the subverting of the hearers. Story to show that's ever proved unto God. So, he's saying, rather than get involved in vain babblings, just stick to the word of truth. Let your focus be on the scriptures. Yo, you stick to the word of truth. I used to be a very versatile in talking about rapture, end time events. I used to be so versatile, I won't tell you what year. You know, find out by word of knowledge. So versatile that I would describe things literally for you as a sign of his coming. I almost describe your hair cut. Yeah, bro. A sign of his coming. You get it? And I'll prove it. And I was proving from every other thing but the Bible. I said somewhere in Russia. Have you had those kind of things? A baby was born. There was a Bible in his hand. I am coming soon. You know, I had all those things in my head. Crap. I'm ashamed of those things. Today, that I used to say. Praise God. Yeah, we used to think that people will escape from the earth. Some people will remain. Then, somebody will now be putting 66 on people's head all over the world. Nobody is disappearing anyway. Praise God. Do you hear me? Nobody is disappearing anywhere. Praise God. It's just Bible interpretation gone wrong. Anyway. So I'll get involved in all those discussions and I'll be telling people, anyway, it was just increasing ungodliness. We're not talking about the word of truth. We're not talking about Jesus Christ. Just events. Events. You know. So he says, you stick to the word. In other words, you see, as a minister of the gospel, you must learn to stay on the same message. This is how I tell pastors, and I've been saying it for years. The Bible has not been reviewed, so the message will remain the same. Don't get bored about the truth. The truth remains the truth. How many of you have been bored about your name? Oh, no, some of you have. You know, what's your name? Say, I'm tired. Tired of mentioning the same name. Mentioned the same name for 50 years. I want a new name. What name? monkey. You know, you just say it because that's the truth. The truth is that's your name. How old are you? It's the truth. You say it again and again and again and again and again and again. Are you male or female? I guess that's controversial now, but in the minds of some folks, but I think everybody knows who or he or who he is or who she is. You know. We know she's he, she. Get my point? You know, the truth is the truth. Praise God. A pastor told me one time, he was a pastor of a church high pastor. How do I say that? Well, he found the church high pastor for him, so he used to come around, he didn't used to preach. The pastor said, you used to preach, but I used to preach. So he said he's bored with my sermons. I said, why? He didn't say exactly he's bored. So let me defame the man. Just said that. Can't we have something else? It's always Jesus Christ. He died. He rose. He said, so why can't we see something else? Say, like what? Like the prophetic dimension of spiritual matters in the scriptures. And I said, well, I don't know how to go about that. But you can bring in someone to do that job. So he brought me one very confused fellow like that. That was giving us a prophetic dimension to things. And the prophetic dimension was so prophetic that the guy was the one that was bored with himself and what he was saying. Praise God. And I said, well, the message remains the same. You don't get bored of the truth because it's the truth. So you seek to it. Praise God. See, the Holy Spirit has no other message to convince the atheist but what's in the Bible. Now, I know people have said things like sometimes some people have visions and all that. I don't like to intrude into stuff, but the Holy Spirit has no other way to convince an atheist other than the message in the scriptures. He has no other message to convince the Muslim, the idol worshiper, outside what is written. Praise God. He said, Lord, give me the wisdom to talk to Elijah's son. Tell me how to approach. And someone said, some guys tell me this. And what I'm about to say may look funny. Not funny, but it may be. But I just have to say. This is the Holy Spirit showed someone Jesus from the Quran. Now I'm thinking, people need doctors. How can the Holy Spirit use Quran? Beginning at that very... What? How did he do it? You're all joking. See, there's Jesus in the Quran. How? It's yes. Isa, Prophet Isa. You drank something too strong. Too strong for your mind. So calm down. Praise God. He says the scriptures testify of me. Which scriptures? Be specific. Not Adit. Don't say is Isa is in the Quran. He's not there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Whoever is in that place is not Jesus. Whoever they were discussing is not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is known by the Holy Spirit. Are you still there? So you don't get engaged. Don't engage yourself in such unnecessary, you know, discussions. So you stick to the word of truth. Look at this, for example. Look at verse 18. He says, some folks who say concerning the truth I've heard, verse 18, 2 Timothy 2, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. So that's the same thing, 1 Corinthians 15:12. This one says there's no resurrection. You find some folks, they just want to say new things. Very new things. I was telling someone yesterday, the revelation knowledge of God's word is not a competition. So when you hear a pastor say something, you want to add your own on top. I see something. What are you seeing? I see something. The other day, a friend of mine, I think he's an apostle now, that's what he says, but then he wasn't an apostle. He was studying in the room, then he wasn't an apostle, but I think he's an apostle now, that's what he says he is. So he, that was him late 96. He was studying. So he said, I'm seeing something. I said, what do you see? He said, I'm seeing something. Tell me what you see. It was not sick. It was a big revelation that came to him. So what did you see? He said, God is a spirit. Very good. Oh, you know the story already. I am a spirit. I said, that's great. So my friend said, I said, let's listen to you. He said, God, the spirit, the spirit of God over the face of the earth, the deep, sorry, darkness, Genesis 1, 2. And God said, and God created the world by his spirit. Yeah? He said, by me, God created the world. Say, you are mad. A screw is missing in your brain. You know, you have younger ministers today. They want to say something. They want to add to what they have been taught. So that they won't be sounding like saying the same thing. What is righteousness? Righteousness is the right in God that makes him right in us. You need to be right in your mind. Praise God. So, you don't say funny things. You just stick to the word. Okay? And stick to the truth. Alright. Is that clear? Good. Praise God. So, it's vain. Now, notice what Paul says. He calls it vain babbling. Vain. And I want us to observe that word vain because it's vital. The word vain means empty. Empty. Now, write this down. True Bible study focuses on Christ and not on things. True Bible study focuses on Christ and not on things. Now, the word vain has 18 references in New Testament Greek. Let's see how it's used. Mark's Gospel 12 and 3. Mark's Gospel 12 and 3. Mark's Gospel 12 and 3. And they caught him, talking about Jesus, and beat him. And they caught him in the parable, and beat him, and sent him away empty. That is, he had nothing. Okay? Luke's Gospel 1:53. Luke's Gospel 1:53. It says, he had filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he had sent empty away. The rich. They are rich. They have stuff. They have money. But he sent them empty away. Luke's Gospel 20 and 10. Luke's Gospel 20 and 10. Send him empty with the same thing we read earlier. And then verse 11. Shamefully, and send him away empty. Now, look at Acts 4:25. When you say vain, the word empty, it doesn't mean there's nothing there. It's relative. Alright? Just like we just saw, the rich is called, he sent, the rich has money, but he said to be empty. But he has money. Praise God. He's rich, but he's empty. Why? Because he's not filled with the things of God. So he's called empty. Luke's Gospel 1 and 53, the one we read earlier. Now look at Acts 4:25. We're looking at the word vain, don't forget. Acts 4:25. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? Now, do you know that the word imagine, okay, means to devise your thoughts, to create thoughts. There's no way you can think and there's nothing in it. Are you following what I'm saying? You know, if empty means there was nothing at all, then you can't have empty imagination because imagination already shows that there's a picture. So for him to say empty imagination, that means the imagination is empty in a relative term. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Let me go over that again. He says, why do the people imagine vain things? The word vain is empty. Okay? So, how can I think and there's nothing in my thoughts? That's not possible. That means there's something in my thoughts, but it is referred to as empty. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Good. So the word empty doesn't mean nothing. It means a relative term that is in relation with something. It means nothing. Let's go on. 1 Corinthians 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. Paul says, I am what I am. And his grace which was bestowed, said I'm by the grace of God what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. He says, the grace of God, I labored, it's not in vain. Verse 15. He says, if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain, empty. 58. 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. Vain. Look at Galatians 2:2. So 2 Corinthians 6:1 first. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. In vain. Okay. That's 2 Corinthians 6:1. Galatians 2:2. Paul is the ministry. He says, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. Emptiness. Okay. Galatians 5:6. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision, so did I say that? Ephesians 5:6. Not Galatians. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Vain words. Words, but he calls them vain. Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:16. Philippians 2:16. He says, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labor in vain. Now, you see these terms, vain, I'm not done yet. This term vain, always refer to earthly things. Material, earthly things, he calls them vain. Vain things. Colossians 2:8. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you with philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, not after Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:1. You yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you, that it was not in vain. 1 Thessalonians 3:5. Our labor, he said, When I couldn't longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by any means the tempter tempted you, and our labor be in vain. That is, it's empty. Okay. So, James 2:20. James 2:20. James 2:20. Are you following this? James 2:20. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? So, what is vain? If you look at it closely, whatever doesn't have Christ is vain. Whatever talk doesn't have the person of Jesus is vain. You know, it's vain. Whatever opposes material things, physical things, or physical experiences is vain. Praise God. Are you there? Whatever is focused on earthly things, for example, material things, earthly experiences, is vanity. It's called empty. So what brings life And substance to man are not things. It's the person of Jesus. So when it says avoid vain babbling, discussions not around the person of Christ, discussions that do not uphold Christ. In other words, it has no spiritual effect. Let me say it one more time. The scriptures do not teach you how to make money. Anyone who twists the Bible like that is either a false teacher or an ignorant one. Not everybody who teaches wrong things is a false teacher. Okay? You become a false teacher when you willfully disregard the word of God. That means you're deliberately distorting the facts of scripture. Bible does not teach you how to make money. Praise God. The Bible doesn't teach you how to make money. When someone comes on the pulpit and begins to explain how to invest from the scripture, he's preaching vain things. That's a vain preacher. He comes up and says, well, this is how to increase. Someone says, well, look at it. Someone did a series, and I was watching the fellow, how solid minerals from Deuteronomy, the wealth of the earth, and he was preaching it well. A series, vanity. Who sent you to preach it? Our faith in Christ is not in vain. It's not in empty things. It's in a person. We are feasting on spiritual realities. Praise God. Hallelujah. Are you still there? The Bible says there is no salvation in any other name. In other words, if you can find this in any other person but Jesus, then that means it's not in Christ. It's not what we have in Christ. If you can find it any other place, people know how to make money. Even the more godless people are, the more money they make. So when you find someone focused on making things, he's a vain preacher or he's preaching vain things. Our labor in the Lord is not in vain things. You know, there's this doctrine that says when you serve God, then he begins to bless you materially. It's a false doctrine. Because the entire epistles teach rewards at the end of your life. Because rewards on faithfulness. Paul said, I have kept the faith. I have finished. Praise God. Are you still there? At the judgment seat of Christ. Paul says, those who love is appearing. So it's not in things. You are not laboring for things. You are not in the church. You are not serving the Lord so that you can get more houses or more cars. That means you have believed the false gospel. That's a false gospel. In the second service, we will bury the prosperity gospel, the false prosperity gospel. We'll bury it, do line estate and interment and memorial service in one service, this second service. There are lies that have gone on too long. And many times we face them in reality, but we still think there's maybe it's because, you know, we begin to delude ourselves. Faith in Christ is not about things. Let that be clear. And I told you how in the church we ask, how are you doing? Yeah, I'm good. Where, what are you doing now? Now, there's nothing wrong saying, what are you doing? Like, okay, I work. Where's your, yeah, you live. That's good. Oh, I met her sister, Susan. She's doing great. What do you mean? She now lives on the island. Maybe she's a mami water or something, but she lives on the island. So she's doing great. It's materialism that's entered our brain and our hearts. Our hearts. How is that doing good? That means if I meet someone who is not in Christ and is in the same place, he's doing good. Praise God. I think I shared this on Friday, did I? In the seminar. About how in two organizations, I'll see them describe success the same way. And one is supposed to be Christian, the other one is non-Christian. And I'm involved in both. Was it on Friday? Was it on Friday? The same, and in the same way they see things. Vain babblings. Vain things. Vanity. That even the unbeliever knows his vanity. The man who doesn't have Christ. By experience, he has seen it that way. Praise the Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. Are you there? So the scriptures are not for things. The scriptures are about a person. 1 Corinthians 10. Paul tells us quickly. Verse 24. Let no man seek his own, every man another his wife. Well, verse 25. Whatever is sold in the shambles, eat, asking no questions, 1 Corinthians 10, 25 now. For conscience sake, 26. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Say the earth is the Lord. So look at 28. 28 says the same thing. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That's Psalm 24 verse 1. So the earth is the Lord's. So, things are of the Lord. God put things in the earth. That only shows you that there's nothing evil in things. Because God made them. The earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. Of course, some guys go so spiritually daft and they say things like a car was made under the water. Shows that their brain is also under the water. How can you go to school, collect? I mean, I told the guy, I said, you return your degree certificate and go back to your village or wherever you came from and apologize to them for wasting their money. How in the world would you imagine that a car was made from under the water? That car came from the bottom pit of hell. Nonsense. You know, some guys don't wear earrings. Some women don't wear earrings in some church, but they have Rolex wristwatches. Kind of like that. What's in earrings? Yeah. Praise God. That's nice. So, he says, but look at something Paul posts in 23. So, nothing is evil of itself. Nothing at all. Nothing. God made everything. Hallelujah. Nothing is evil. In fact, Paul says that anyone who teaches that people should forbid or not taught things is a false teacher. 1 Corinthians 10, 23 now says, all things are lawful for me. Look at the rule now. All things are lawful. The word lawful is existing in the Greek. It means permissible. I have access to them. All things are lawful unto me. But all things are not what? Expedient. Which is the word somphero. Somphero means advantage. Or advance. Or profitable. All things are lawful. Because the earth is the Lord. And the fullness thereof. But then he begins to talk to me about purpose. Are all things purposeful? That's key. They are all, I said, all things are lawful. That is, I have permission to have all things, but all things are not purposeful. All things are not an advantage, as it were. All things are lawful unto me. He now explains himself. But all things edify not. To build up. Praise God. To build up. Now, look at the discussion. The discussion was this. You go somewhere, alright, and they are offering, they offered you food. And that food, they said, this food is for an idol. And then Paul in chapter 8 said, look, an idol is nothing. To clear your mind, he says nothing belongs to an idol. So it's not about saying we are afraid of money, of material things because it belongs to the devil. That's not just unnecessary, it's spiritually illiterate. He says everything belongs to God. Even if they say that this money was gotten from, this thing was gotten from someone, you know, whatever anyone says about things, it lets you see that all things in the earth today were made by God. Is that clear? Now, Paul doesn't talk about things anymore. He now talks about you and things. Your attitude. Your approach. How do you handle things? How do you go after things? So he says, this is food offered to God. Interestingly, do you know in Acts 15, the apostles actually wrote a letter to the Gentile church, and then they said to them that they should abstain from food offered to idols. They said, as Moses read and all this, that's Acts 15, 19, I think. Acts 15, 19. Said, abstain from food offered to idols. Acts 15, 19 to 22. Abstain from food offered to idols. And Paul says there's no idols. Nothing like that. There's nothing like that. So, now watch this. He says the idol is nothing. Okay? But he doesn't say men are nothing. So, he's saying to you that if a food is offered to idols, he says you should ask no questions. Don't say, please, I want to know the source of this. Who blessed it? Did they call Allahu Akbar as they were cutting, you know, unnecessary things? They don't ask questions. However, if someone should not ask a question or raises the issue that, I think this thing belongs to an idol. He says, look at this. He says, if any of them that believe not, verse 27, bids you to a feast, and you are disposed to go, you have no fellowship meeting, no prayer meeting, no evangelism. Whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question. No, the word feast means a party. A party. Now, anybody who really knows what a party is about, it's not the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Pentecost, or Love Feast, a feast of those that don't believe. That means they will play very good artists. You're not going to worship God. You are grateful. Oh Lord, hallelujah. We are faithful. No one's going to sing that. When Jesus attended a wedding, I don't think anybody was praying in the spirit there. He was in the wedding. He wasn't passing by. He was there. And I can readily tell you that he must have taken the wine before it went out. Now, you don't have to believe me, but he must have taken the wine before the wine ran out. Because it was not that there was no wine. The wine ran out. People exhausted the wine. And it was a feast. It was a wedding. And in a wedding, they played music. I know from Jewish culture. And the music they were playing was not, Elohim. Elohim. They just played music. Praise God. And Jesus was right there. Did he dance to it? I don't know. Did he listen to it? I know. Hallelujah. Sorry. Oh, where are we now? So he says, if they call you for a party, the word feast means party, don't spiritualize it. Just put, if they call you for a party, okay, you'll be supposed to go, whatever I set before you, eat, asking no questions for conscience sake. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, but for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That is, it's not because of what he said. Because you already know that the earth is the Lord's. But he said, because of that fellow. In other words, Paul introduces a law, a principle of living, a principle of love, where we begin to handle things with people in mind. We begin to handle things, natural things, with people in mind. There's no idol, no doubt. Doesn't mean anything. But then you begin to consider others. Because the life of God, the life of the believer, is a life of Christ, where you consider others in how you think. If you don't, then your thinking is vain. You consider others. So he's saying the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof. There's nothing evil in anything, no doubt. Praise God. Look at Acts 2, Acts 20:33. Acts 20, 33, Paul speaking here. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Now, the word covet it depends on the context where it's used. It has 16 references in New Testament Greek. 16. We'll examine them one by one. Now, look at that verse 33. He said, I've coveted no man's gold, silver, or clothes. Now, that means there's nothing. He didn't say, if he said, I've coveted, or I don't have gold or silver, or clothes. That would mean maybe gold, silver, and clothes are wrong. But he didn't say that. He said no man's silver and gold and apparel. In other words, whatever I have, that's why verse 34 says, whatever I have, okay, I work for them. That implies that I can have my gold, I can have my silver, and I can have my clothes as long as I worked for them. Let me see if you understand that. Is that very clear? I worked for them. So I doubt whether Paul could have said silver and gold have I not. That's Peter's confession. Maybe because he stopped fishing for a while. But say such as I have I given you, but that's not a confession of who you are in Christ. Silver and gold I have none. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's not a confession of who you are in Christ. That's Peter. And you know, he didn't say silver and gold have we not. Because he didn't have John's account. He didn't do that. He said, silver and gold have I not. He didn't say have we not. Such as we have given unto you. Now, watch this. So, the word covet is key here. Nothing wrong in covet, because covet depends on the context. For example, Matthew 13:17. So we're going to see covet in negative and positive ways. Matthew 13:17. We'll run through that quickly. Matthew 13:17. Many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which you see. That's the word covet. Is that positive or negative? Huh? Positive. Okay. You think so? Matthew 5:28. Matthew 5:28. That whosoever looks on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now let me ask you. Can I look at my wife in the same way? Would it be adultery? Nope. Can I look at my wife in strong desire? Can I? Would that be adultery? Good. So that means the word looks at must be in a context. You get that? I just have to say that. Praise God. Anyway. Romans 7:7, thou shalt not covet. Romans 13:9, thou shalt not covet. 1 Corinthians 10:16. 1 Corinthians 10:16. No, 6, sorry. 1 Corinthians 10:6. Now these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. After evil things. Galatians 5:17. Covetousness, walk of the flesh. Walk of the flesh. Because the word he is epithumio in the Greek. E-P-I-T-H-U-M-E-O. So we have, how many negatives have we had so far? We had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many positives? I think just one. That's quite a weight again. 1 Timothy 3:1. It's a true saying, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Epithumia. Positive or negative? Huh? Positive. Good. Office of a bishop. So you are desiring the office of a bishop? It becomes positive? Hebrews 6 and 11. And we desire that every one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope to the end. Positive or negative? Look at it. Look at it before you say positive because I said we desire. Look at it. Read it. I waited for you to read. And we covet that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Positive or negative? Positive. James 4:2. Without reading James, you know it to be negative. You lost and have not. You kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you have not because you ask not. So, positive or negative? Now, let me ask you. There's a slant to when it talks about things, material things, it becomes negative. Have you observed it? Becomes negative. And when it becomes something that you don't have as well, just like I mentioned, use of wife, it becomes negative. Hallelujah. It becomes negative. So, the word covet will now be defined, or desires will be defined by, pay attention to this, by purpose. That is, you will define covet or desire by purpose. What will determine the legality or otherwise of what I desire is the purpose. Let me see if you understand that. Can you get what I'm saying? It's what? The purpose. Hallelujah. For example, okay, let me see. This is out of question. Wow. This is out of question. I shouldn't say this one in church. I'm born again now. Verse 34, Acts 20. So, usually, to have desire for things is negative. Are we together? Huh? Come on, are we together? To have desire for things negative. Go to Acts 20, 34. You shouldn't lose this one. I have coveted no man's gold or silver or apparel. That means Paul had those things in his possession. But he said, I did not covet someone's gold or silver or apparel. Yea, you yourselves know that these hands, right, have ministered unto my necessities and to them that are with me. These hands have ministered to my necessities. These hands. The word necessity means necessary things. They have ministered my own necessary things. Pay attention to this. It's the word eteria in the Greek. It means exactly what I just said. Necessary. Acts 2:45. The same words used by Luke. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had necessity, need. Acts 4:35, same thing. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had necessity. Necessary things. Acts 6:3. See word. I quoted Acts 2:45 and Acts 4:35. Acts 6:3. Look ye among yourselves, or among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. I've heard people say, ministry is a business. You apply it as a business. The word there means necessity. That means there was a gap created. Right? So, Paul begins to identify what is necessary. What is necessary? But for instance, Acts 6, there was a lack in distribution of food to widows. He said, that's necessary. That means something was, a gap was created. Let's appoint men to over this necessity. So necessity will mean a required thing. Something that is required. Something that is necessary. That if it's not there, it's abnormal. Something like that. Now, that said, he says, these hands have ministered. Now, one more thing. Romans 12:13. I think I need to quote that. Romans 12:13. Again, distributing to the necessity of saints given to hospitality. So, go back to Acts 20. Paul is speaking here. He says, these hands have ministered. Now, the word ministered is not diakonia. The word ministered was used back then for how to row a boat. You know how a boat, you know, when a boat is just on water, you know, you row it to stabilize it, alright, to support the material. So, the word ministered will necessarily be the word we use, we can replace it with the word support. Is a Greek word, H-U-P-E-R-E-T-O, huperetio. It means to serve, to support. Acts 13:36. Acts 24:25. To support. Okay? Now, you know, it begins to make sense. It says, these hands have supported my necessary. Don't forget, necessity means there's something is created. Then what do? I fill it up to what? To support, okay? My necessities, pay attention, my necessities, and to them that are with me. Let's take 35 together. I have showed you, let's go, come on. I have showed you all things. How that so laboring, you also ought to support the weak. So it says the word support has come back again. So laboring. Acts 20:25. Laboring. The word laboring means working hard. So you are supposed to work hard. But you're supposed to work hard on purpose. And he just told you, what are we working hard for? We're working hard that so laboring we support. Am I making any sense here? So laboring, we support. The word laboring is kupiao in the Greek. It means to grow weary. Okay? Physical work, to toil. To toil. So he doesn't place limit on work. You gotta work. Okay? You gotta work. He doesn't say, what kind of work? He just says, work hard. Some say, work hard. You gotta work hard. The kupao means you work hard. Something that brings sweat off you. Not, I just be enjoying grace. That's African testimonies. Enjoying grace. I didn't sit for that exam. They gave me admission letter. Enjoying grace. You are a cheat. Enjoying grace. I'm just, grace. Everywhere. Paul says, share about the grace of God. I've labored. I've got grace and I'm laboring. I thought grace just means done. settled, accomplished, glory. No, no, no. Grace means I'm doing it for others. Praise God. I'm making it available to others. That's what it means. There's grace on our part. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Watch this now. So, we labor, when we labor to minister to needs. Paul is saying that. Paul says labor. So, I must be purposeful. That means, I must have control over what I do. I ask myself, okay? As I work harder, you get more professional qualifications, you travel abroad to get more degrees, and so on and so forth. What is the purpose? Listen carefully. Things must not determine how I use them. I determine how I use things. All things are lawful, right? But I will not be brought under the power of any. Are you there? So, I must determine, hey, what am I doing this for? Praise God. So laboring, we ought to support what? The weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, so that he said, how he said, it is more blessed to give, oh hallelujah, than to what? Receive. So I'm laboring to give. Not just give, I'm going to support myself. Alright? And take care of myself. But the minute my work is about me, then I'm in covetousness. Are you still there? So, at the end of it, just like 1 Corinthians 10, about things, and Acts 20, my focus on work should be men, not me. Love should dominate my industry. Love. Are you still out there? Love, the love of God should dominate my industry. That is, I'm industrious, I'm hard working. But if I'm hard working industrious for self, then that's covetousness. But when I'm hard working and industrious for the love of God, then that is ministry. Let me see if you understand this. You get that? Praise God. So, there's nothing evil in things and having things. No. You work. You work. Say, so laboring. That means I'm laboring. I'm sweating. Sometimes I walk to 1 a.m. Say, I've left that life. I'm just enjoying his grace. What grace? So laboring. We ought to also support the weak. So there are no limits. Now, go to Acts 18. Paul, what's he talking about? Is he laboring in spirit, in tongues? Nope. So laboring in prayer? Nope. Paul had a profession. Now, I'm not against full-time ministry. Well, what called full-time ministry means that you go to the office every morning, you come back in the evening, and the office is church office. But I always say it like this. Paul labored more abundantly than all the apostles. Right? Is that not in the Bible? He had more revelation than all of them put together. In fact, all of them put together, then Paul followed them all over again. He had more revelation than they did. And Paul had his own profession. We should examine that a bit. He was going to work. Hallelujah. So, you know they're busy, you know. I want to do ministry, but when I make all the money, and then I'll be able to take care of my life, I know that if I go to ministry, this is problem. I'll have saved more money, I'll have put it in savings. Bought property all over the world, and I'll say, Lord, I want to serve you. Who do you think you are deceiving? No, Paul didn't do that. Paul, he went to work, and he also was working in the ministry. Praise God. I don't think he had church office. Sorry for that. Just said that. Make sure it's in the tape. Acts 18. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because the Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by occupation they were tent makers. Look at the word. He says, they were of the same trade. The word craft is the word trade. Homotechnos in the Greek. Same trade. H-O-M-O-T-E-C-H-N-O-S. Technos. Technophone. Same trade. They had a same, it didn't say the same ministry. Hallelujah. Or the same gifts of the Spirit. Same trade. The word, now, the word techno means skill. Occupation used to exchange for value. An art. Something you were trained for. So it implies that he went for training. He had professional qualifications. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Alright, he did. He got his degree. So I said, the call of God was so strong on me, I had to leave school. I could not face it. A friend of mine, somebody I know. Where is it? Oh my Lord, I guess. He said he was in school. He just discovered that every time he writes, they don't find his marks. Then I went to the Lord in prayer. Final year. Lord. 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 What is this happening? The Lord said, I sent you to the ministry. You went to school. I had someone like that who told me he had a vision. It was in Spanish. Yeah, University of Badon. And I told me that, well, he just called me and said, you know, he's a friend. A very friend. He's a friend. So we took a stroll just at the back of Indy Hall. So he was telling me, I just saw this vision. Because he knows we are into spiritual things. And the Lord showed me a field, and there were corn, and stuff like that. The Lord said, now is the time. The Lord said, now is the time. Today is the season. The hour has come. So I said, great. So he now said, the Lord said there was somebody else. He said, that person is you. I said, great. The Lord speaks. Marvelous way. So, he went back to his room. So I called his then girlfriend, because we were all doing ministry together. I said, go to his faculty and check his results for me. She went. He had enough carryover to start another degree. I mean, to start again, and it will be a fresh course. So the other friend asked him, so have you reached the world? No. He hasn't reached the world. So what do you do every day? He said, I'm at home, waiting for evening service. And because, so why didn't you just go to school in the morning? And then preach in the evening? So that you walk with your hands, that which is good. And you not begin to create all sorts of seedlings. In the churches. Dynamic recession, anti-recession seed. Prophetic, the reason is because you did not work. If you go to work and earn money, you respect people's giving. If you go to work, and if you lose money as a businessman, when people tell you, Pastor, that business went by, you will say, did you not pray? And you will be led by the Spirit. Should be led. You are not realistic. Because you are a receiver. You don't understand. Paul understands. Hallelujah. He said, you know these hands. He brought his hands out like this. These hands. He's like saying this company. Right? This taxi. This Okada. This Marwa. Praise God. They have ministered to me. He didn't say the Holy Spirit is ministering to me. I'm enjoying ravings. He didn't say all those kind of things. These hands, this farm, praise God. This investment, praise God. Are you buying them like that? It's not in the Bible. These hands. So he had what he was doing. Techno. Technos means, or mono, homo technos. It means something you were trained for. Acts 17:29 calls it man's device. Man's device. Something you were trained for. It's not prayer. They were of the same craft. Not prayer and fasting. You train yourself. You're a medical doctor. Do you train yourself? Do you get better? They say, doctor, we have this patient. You say, I minister to my patients by the Spirit. Ma baba. Is that what you, is that training? Imagine you want to fly a plane. Or you want to, and the guy say, the person who is on board, this is our first time, his first time flying a plane. But don't worry. He is Spirit filled. Me, I will get down. That's me. You know, me, I'm a younger Christian than you. I will get down. Go for training. Praise God. They have the same crafts. Praise God. Paul had the craft. So I say, no, it's before his ministry grew. Even in 1 Corinthians 4:12, he still wrote it too. 1 Corinthians 4:12, he has been to Ephesus. He has been everywhere. In 1 Corinthians 4:12, it was a known fact about him. In 1 Corinthians 4:12. And labor, working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer not. The previous verse said he had no house. Paul didn't have a house. He was moving from place to place. He was laboring with his hands. 1 Thessalonians 2. Many preachers hide this fact about Paul. 1 Thessalonians 2:8-9. For we remember, brethren, our labor. You remember our labor and travail. Laboring night and day. That means he was doing night shift. Day shift. He was on call. Are you there? Night and day. Because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preach unto you the gospel of God. So because we would not be chargeable. We didn't want anyone to pay our bills. We didn't want to be a burden. So we're working night and day. Hallelujah. Can you see? Anyone who teaches you that to prosper materially you give, he needs your money. It's your money he's after. This is the man who taught us Christ. He says, how do I meet my own needs? By walking. And he said, oh, hallelujah. Pastor, what's your secret? Speaking in tongues. I thank my God. I speak in tongues, brother. As I speak, you know, the money just comes from my spirit. I just get it from my spirit. I speak it out. Then it just comes. No. He said, I'm walking night and day. That means there will be times he will walk and walk and he will be tired. Oh my God, what a day. Hallelujah. He said, Paul, you are laboring under the curse of the law. There should be no toil in your body. You should be enjoying the tithe and offering. Let's go on. Lord have mercy. I said it already. 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Hope you are learning something here. 2 Thessalonians 3:8. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing. But we wrought with labor and travail night and day. Can you see it? That we might not be chargeable to any of you. That is, he said, we night and day, we travail. That means the kind of work he was doing was not just pressing computer and doing yahoo yahoo. And withdrawing money from someone's account, another account. He was working. He will see. He will resume early in the morning. He will leave the Korodu for VI and he will get there early. Praise God. And he's still speaking in tongues. Is he preaching the gospel? Is he winning souls? Is he healing the sick? Hallelujah. He's still teaching the gospel of Christ and he's laboring night and day. Hallelujah. Who is following what I'm saying here? Anyone teaching you material prosperity from giving is lying to you. Your giving takes money away from it, doesn't have to you. The reality of giving is that if you have 100 naira and you give 80 naira, you have 20 naira left. Don't expect anything coming back. That is the reality of giving. And if you tell yourself the truth, that has been the reality of your life. Reality of Christianity. Hallelujah. See, I walk with my hands. Your hands can mean your mind. Your industry. What do you do for you? Say, I'm just a Christian. I speak in tongues, things happen. They have deluded you very well. Someone said he was coming to make people rich, and he was the one that became rich. He was the one that became rich. Because the people had to be stupid for him to be rich. You have to be stupid. So I gave 20 million naira to this ministry. Then you rush to beat him. Who is the minister? The person collecting money says he gave to the bag where he takes the money from. Then he's challenging you to give. Don't you think that is smartness? So you say, see, I'm challenged. Hey, hey, hey. So people remove their shirt, they remove their trouser. Who is jazzing you? Oh my God. So I say, at the apostles' feet, finish it though, for distribution to the saints. Nobody here is under that kind of spell. They're not under any spell in this church. Those under the spell, they know themselves. Nobody is just you. You walk. Go and walk for a living. Hallelujah. Let's get back to Acts 18. I hope you are learning something. You know, one time, I went to teach in the campus. Jakes was in school. They were having exams. That's probably some years back now. 11, 12 years ago. They were still in university about a final year. And then, they said, Pastor wants to come and exhort us on exams. So they were expecting revelation. I just went there. By the time I was through, everybody went to read. I said, you will fail. I said, if you pray in tongues about an exam, it is quarter to failure. Because there's no man understand. I'm not joking. He says, if I pray in the spirit, my mind is on foot. Take your books and read. You will fail. I see uncommon grace coming upon you in this service. That even if you don't write anything, your lecturer will see it. Which country will ever develop that way? They say 4 plus 4, you write 44, your lecturer passes you. He says it's grace. That kind of person now becomes a doctor. Then when he becomes a doctor, he begins to kill patients. He says, every spirit of immortality in this movie, you started it. Rubbish. Acts 18. They were of the same trade. What were they doing? They were tent makers. Verse 3. I've heard someone on television say the word tent there is prayer shawl. Some guys are skillful. It's a prayer shawl. That is a prayer shawl. That Paul is not that. Because the guy knows that whenever you get there, he doesn't walk. So it's a prayer shawl that he was producing spiritual things. Anyway, let's leave him to his conscience. The word there is tense, is skin, scan in the Greek. S-K-E-N-E. It means tense. Okay, it's used 20 times, and I'll just give you some text quickly. Acts 7:43 and 44. Acts 15:16. I'll say it again. Acts 7:43 and 44. Acts 15:16. It's used for building a house. So Paul can be called like a construction worker. Somebody who was into building. Alright? That's why he will say, my hands. Are you following me? That's why I use the word my hands. That's why he will say he was laboring with travel. You know, it's not an easy work. They will wear helmet and say, you charge something and take iPad. You will go down and build. He was building. So when he actually said, I'm a wise master builder, it's two ways. Hallelujah. Praise God. Is there a Christian profession? No. Except confession of Jesus Christ. Go again. You determine what you do. There is no... Peter, Jesus was a carpenter. Peter, a fisherman. Matthew, tax collector. John, both fisherman and lover. So you determine what you want to do. Hallelujah. I had a man of God tell me this, and I was shocked. He said, why are you studying law? He said, for a man, and he was really serious. And I thought he was joking, but he was serious. He said, those are not professions for believers. I said, yes, sir. Because if you argue, you are an heretic. Hallelujah. You find something to do. Paul was a builder. He was building tents where people will live. Hallelujah. Don't say, no, God, I want to have time for ministry. I'll be selling Bibles. You know, we can lie. Praise God. Ephesians 4:28. Praise God. So I think the engineers are happy. Was Paul like an engineer? Are you an engineer? Jake, are you an engineer? Some of you are feeling bad. Nigeria has told you something else. People are bankers. Who failed maths in school? Alright, verse 28. Ephesians 4. Let him that stole steal no more. In other words, the scripture teaches against dishonest practices, fraudulent practices. Okay? Let him that stole steal no more. But let him what? Let him work. Can you see the word labor comes over and over again? So the scriptures teaches us to be hardworking. You must sweat. Hallelujah. Be hardworking. Don't say, that brother is enjoying his rest. The work he does, he doesn't sweat. Are you sure it's not 419? Praise God. Praise God. You know, there are so many testimonies that are packaged. Yeah, I'll say my own. Let him labor, working with his hands. Not somebody else's hands. That's 419. The thing that is what? Good. That is honest. Can you tell everybody what you are doing for a living? What are you doing for a living? The Lord is just doing mighty things. The Lord has been faithful. We know that word. What are you doing? I'm telling you, Lord, it's just sometimes I won't even go anywhere. I'll just see money in my account. Sometimes I will not. You know, this is Buhari's regime. You see money in your account, quickly say what happened. You'll be in the newspapers very soon. Which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. It comes up again. In other words, we should not labor for things. In as much as we are going to get things, we must define our acquisition of things. To give again to him that is in need. Hallelujah. So, the epistles teach diligence. So say diligence. Say diligence. You must be diligent. You must resume at work at the right time. You must be diligent. South Thessalonians again, chapter 3. Do you know that even for those who needed support, because you know, support will mean that some folks, in spite of what they do, you know, or whatever reasons, they can't feed and stuff like that. Look at what Paul teaches here, South Thessalonians 3. Verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walked disorderly, not after the tradition which we have received of us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. For we behaved not ourselves disorderly among you. Everyone who was in Paul's team, Timothy inclusive, they had their own professions. Silas, everybody did. Barnabas, all of them. Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not the power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this we commanded, that if any should not walk, neither should he eat. Now, he said that if somebody needs support, first of all, ask him, what do you do? Nobody should be in the local church at the mercy of others, except the person cannot walk. Nobody should be at the mercy of others. No. He says, if we are going to support anybody, he should walk. If any should not walk, neither should he eat. For we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, walking not at all, but are what? Busybodies. They don't walk at all. That means we can support people, alright? We must ensure that they are not indolent people. Let me see how they are following this. They are not indolent people. So the apostle expects you to have something to do. Don't say, I feed on grace. I feed on supplies. I feed on ravens. Or you are looking for one widow that will be our son. No. Hallelujah. Even widows, look at 1 Timothy 5. Even widows, Paul gives specifications of widows that should be supported. From verse 3 to 7, 1 Timothy 5. He says, the widow, has she shown piety at all? To reconcile their parents? For that which is good and simple before God. She's a widow indeed and desolate, verse 5, trusted in God and continues in supplication and prayers night and day. Not somebody who just comes to church to take money, doesn't attend prayer group, doesn't go for any meetings. Don't support that kind of person. You are not being spiritual, helping that kind of person. She liveth in pleasure, is dead while she lives. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Look at verse 9. Let not a widow be taken into the number under 60 years, that's 80, having been the wife of one man, well reported up for good works, if she has brought up children, if she has lost strangers, if she has worked saints feet, if she has relieved the afflicted, if she has diligently followed every good work. That is the widow we ought to support. So the diligence. The epistles teach diligence. You will never find anywhere in the epistles. You were told that to meet your needs, go and give. There's not one place. It's a false doctrine. Perpetuated by either ignorant preachers, who I can say some are very ignorant, many, or some very dishonest ones, who want to capitalize on your own greed. So that the one that wants to die, and the ones who I want to bury him, they are now friends. Are you there? Look at verse 8. If any provide not for his own, especially for his own household, he has denied the faith and his own and his faith. Now, this verse has been used many times for husbands. While it is well applicable, but really, Paul is teaching about the widow. That you see, if this widow, while she was still, you know, very active, did not provide for her own and her household, she, the person here, anybody, male and female, has denied the faith. Don't forget, it's not saying, if any does not have, has not provided. The faith teaches us that when we are walking, we should not be the only persons in view. We should take care of others. So that kind of person, anyone who is not providing for his own, especially his own, the church, then people of his household, that person has denied the faith. So where the faith of God is applicable is not possession. It is distribution. Faith is not in taking. Faith is demonstrated in what? Giving. Let me see if you understand this very well. Come on, let me see your hand. Is it clear? Faith is not in taking. Faith is in what? Giving. Provide. So the widow will be judged as she or he, whoever, we're going to, as he provided for his own household, or he has denied the faith, and is worse than an infidel. Faith teaches responsibility to others. The word to provide means ahead of time, before the need arises, you are thinking. You are not looking for school fees when the term is about to start. Providing things, making it available ahead of time. That means the scripture is teaching you responsibility towards others. Your family, the church of God. Responsibility. The word to provide is proneo in the Greek. It means beforehand. Both pastors and all believers, we must be found providing. Responsible living. Why? Because our attitude of faith towards material things is to what? Support others. The minute it's about you, you are in covetousness. You are in covetousness. You are in covetousness. So, look at Christians and industry. We have Priscilla and Aquila. Well-known ministers of the gospel who had the same craft. Both husband and wife. So wife was also working. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Wife was also working. They were working. And meeting the needs of others. Do you? So, even in working, your needs, in making money, the minute your needs are the only thing on your mind, you are a covetous person. You are a covetous. Now, do not forget, you don't have to be born again. In fact, being born again and having money are not related issues. It's what you do with what you have that shows that you are born again. I'm making sense here. It's what you do with what you have. Barnabas was like that as well. Acts 4. Barnabas was like that. Acts 4. And Joseph, verse 36, who was by the apostles, okay, was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. So, it was a man who was working, 1 Corinthians 9, Paul mentioned that, and he was given. Timothy and Silas, 1 Thessalonians 2, 9, 1 Corinthians 4, 12, 2 Thessalonians 3, 8. Luke! I didn't mean Luke, I mean Luke in the Bible. Colossians 4. Someone say walk. Say walk. Say walk. So the ethic of walk is the culture of Christ. It's the culture of Christ. Colossians 4. Luke, the beloved physician, that's a medical doctor, and Demas greet you. So it's a medical doctor. It's a medical doctor. So a medical doctor is a minister of the gospel. 2 Timothy 4:11 says, Luke is with me. He's a medical doctor. That means he had his profession in the church. There's one other fellow. Okay? Romans 16. Ask your neighbor, what do you do for a living? Answer now. Say, I'm walking in the spirit. Romans 6:23. Gaius, my host. This Gaius. Everybody shall be Gaius. My host and the whole church salute you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, salute you. And Quartus, your brother. The word chamberlain, okay, was taken from, is the same thing Potiphar was doing. Genesis 37, verse 36. Let me just show you that quickly. Genesis 37, verse 36. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh and captain of the guard. Genesis 39, verse 1. Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guards, an Egyptian. So this is a very high-ranking official. So he says, Erastus, Romans 16:23, the chamberlain. A chamberlain is someone who is an administrator, treasurer, or you can call him a finance minister. So nothing changes in your profession. Do you understand? This is your decision. What you want to be professional is your choice. What Christianity affects is what you do with what you have. Let me see if they're following what I'm saying here. Paul did not do a series for people to become chamberlain to take over the land, brethren. Kingdom takeover. Nothing like that. Nothing that silly was done. If the kingdom would take over at all, it will be believers in any sphere that they have found themselves by the virtue of career, by the virtue of anything, demonstrating the love of God and the life of God in what they are doing. That's how your faith affects your material possession. Your faith does not get material possessions. Your faith is how you use the material possession. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. Is this clear enough? Is how you use it. So, as I said, Acts 12:20, the word chamberlain is also used. Having made Blastius, the king's chamberlain, their friend, desired peace because their country was nourished by the king's country. So, a chamberlain is sort of like an administrator. Some will call him a finance minister, a treasurer of the whole. So, this was a very influential person in the church. I mean, in the city. Very influential. And is found in Christ. Hallelujah. So, such people abounded. You have people like Gaius, who obviously was a successful business person. You had the elect lady. You had Philemon. But everything they were in the natural had no spiritual significance. Because, just like, you know, we saw Erastus. We now saw somebody else in Acts 12 who was also a chamberlain. So it can be a Christian, it can be a non-Christian. Where it differs is what they do with what they have. Are you following what I'm saying here? So your faith in Christ is not to get things, it's to give them. Should I repeat myself? Faith in Christ is not to get things. It's how you handle the things. And you know, it's without much ado, it's very likely that these people, Gaius, Philemon, Priscilla and Aquila, or definitely, and maybe Paul as well, it's very likely that they were these things before they got saved. Right? Right? Most likely. So it's of no spiritual significance. And none of them, by the virtue of what they were or what they had a special significant place in the body of Christ. He gave unto me, he gave some chamberlain, some tent maker. That's your choice. That's what you want to do. Hallelujah. Or whatever you say, work with your hands that which is good, that you may have. So laboring, okay, and with labor and travail and hard work, that which is good, honest. You know, we don't have Erastus the thief or Justus the 419. They are noble things. Things that are honest living, or can be called honest living. Have to give to him that is in need. 1 Corinthians 16. I'm going to close. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 16. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of every week, that every one of you, that includes the chamberlain, right? That includes the doctor, that includes the farmer, the tent maker, every one of you, lay by him in store, hath prospered. The word God is not there. Hath prospered. As he has prospered. So the him shall come before the has, as he has prospered. That there be no gatherings where I come. So that means, as you have done well, okay, in your different trades, it says you lay in store to support others. So believers ought to work, not just to take care of their own needs, but the needs of others. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you following this? 1 Corinthians 6:17. 1 Timothy, 6:17. Should we work hard? Should we work hard? Should we be industrious? Diligent? To what end? Not to support ourselves alone, but to support others. And don't forget, primarily we are dealing with fellow believers. Amen. So we don't get money for self, even though we take care of ourselves. We get money, we make money to be able to minister to the needs of others. That is Christian living. So our boast should never be what we have. That's carnal. Our joy should be in how many now have because of us. And you see, if you say, well, I'll do this when I have a million, you will never do it. Let every one of you, that's why I say everyone, irrespective of your social status, lay in store. Let him walk with that which is good. So when he has millions, nope. Whatever he does, he has to give to him that is in need. 1 Timothy 6:17. Are you learning something here? Tell them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us. We're going to look at this word very well in the second service. Richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. And they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute. Willing to communicate. Can you imagine? He's telling the rich to be willing to give. This just negates some stupid teachings we have around. They are already rich. If the way they became rich was by giving, why is he telling them to be willing to give? Am I making sense here? Your giving has nothing to do with what you have. At all. There's no bearing at all with what you have and what you give. They don't relate. The only bearing is what you give when you have. That's how we twisted 2 Corinthians 8:9, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Scripture teaching about giving, we taught it for receiving. The epistles focus on giving, not on receiving. My faith in Christ
I've changed my attitude. I'm now selfless. I'm not selfish. My faith in Christ reduces the impact and takes it away of things over my thought pattern. I begin to see earning as vain when it does not affect people's lives. I'm not in a rat race with an unbeliever. He wants to become something. No, I want others to be because of me. I'm now born again. My desires have changed. My giving is not just about things. It's now about me. I'm going to explain the second service. Giving breaks the hold of materialism over your life. It takes away covetousness. That's what it does. Because faith in Christ lets you see that. Glory to God. Amen. Praise God. I trust in the living God, not in uncertain riches. Praise God. Why are they called uncertain? We'll find out. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. So we are born that way. You are born to reflect the character of God when it comes to things. He says God gives you all things which you enjoy in 17. Then verse 18 now teaches you to be willing to communicate. So if you reflect God, you'll be willing to communicate, ready to distribute. Because God gives all things richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. Christians don't amass, we disperse. We take care of our needs, no doubt. The needs of our family. And then we also take care of the needs of others. Can you work to support others? Can you increase your work because you know people have needs? Can you increase what you do? Make more money because you want to support others. You want to support the gospel. You want to support believers who are in need. Can you? Would you be discouraged if God tells you that's the reason why you have things? Would you say, oh, there's no reason to have it. If it's not for me to buy this one and buy that. Would you? Can you go to work every day and in your mind you have people, not your kids alone, but you have people who have needs and you need to increase more? Can you do more businesses because you know there are needs to meet? If you can't, then greed has taken a hold of your mind and of your life. Paul says the reason why we walk night and day, so that we can support us, so that we can be an example to you. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are we to get things? Yep. Are we to acquire things? Yes. Are we to own things? Yes. Are we to work and get things? Yes. Because there's nothing evil. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But is it an end in itself or a means to an end? It's a means to an end. Glory to God. Are you blessed? Stand to your feet. Let's worship Jesus. Give Him praise. I want you to pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Have you been faithful with the resources that you have received in this life? Have you been faithful? Have you been faithful with them? Is it about you? Just about you. Your entire dream is about you. How you become someone great in life. That's all on your mind. Think about it as you pray. Pray.